And I'm going to read verses 16, 17, and 18 from the King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now let's turn over to Psalm 34. I'll tell you, when things get tough, you're going to head to Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. Glory to God. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's not just in your mind, it's not just in your heart, but it's got to be where? In your mouth. Thank you for that one mouth. No, it's not just in your heart, in your mind, it's got to be in your mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times, not just in your heart, not just, and that's good. That's good to bless him in your mind, but you got to bless him with your mouth. Because it says, the humble shall what? Hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Now, I mentioned this. I'm going to read it again because we're talking about blessing and exalting his name. And I shared this. There was a scripture I didn't share on Sunday. But Proverbs 15:4 says, and from the Living Letters translation, it says, gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. And when we gripe and complain about things, it can bring discouragement. And one of the scriptures that I was referencing was 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. And it says, and do not grumble, I'm sorry, and neither murmur ye, I'm familiar with this scripture, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So our murmuring can open the door to the adversary. Our words released. See, it's always about death and life is in the power of the tongue. So when we get over into murmuring and complaining, it's either going to be death or it's going to be life. It's either going to be spiritual or it's going to be carnal. There's no in between. It's black and it's white. There's no kind of little bit or a kind of little. No, it's either it is or it isn't. It's either genuine or it's not genuine. It's either truth or it's not truth. So it can't be in the middle. It's either death or it's life. It's either blessing or it's cursing. And so, you know, when we find ourselves over in there, in that place, we need to check it. We need to let the Holy Ghost guide us and lead us and warn us and say, hey, hoop, okay, buddy, cool it. That's enough. Check it. Button it up. Zip it. You know what I mean by that? Because in the NIV it says, do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. The Good News Translation says we must not complain. And the Message says we must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontent destroyed them. So we can get over into discontent and start spewing out some things and create some problems for our own lives. But the scripture I didn't turn over to Romans chapter 1. And I think this was also an enlightening scripture. Romans chapter 1, and we're very familiar about this section of Scripture and start looking at verse 19. And we're still talking about praise and thanksgiving and worship. But this is another Scripture verse to keep in mind. I've read right over it. Looking at verse 19, 20 and 21, it says 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Now this is talking about the ungodly and the godly. So let's get that straight. We know that, right? It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Okay? It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, he's talking about the ungodly. But look at this in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Oh boy, that stopped me right in my tracks. Neither were thankful. And I'll tell you, you want to watch that, because don't get over into a place where you are not thankful to God. Even the things that you may be walking through, you're grumbling and complaining just like the Israelites. Why do I have to be going through this? I don't like this. Blah, blah, blah. And you're not thankful to God. And I'll tell you, that stopped me right there. I says, because that when they knew God, well, we're in the same place. We know God. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Now look at the rest of this. Because they weren't thankful, but became. See, they weren't thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Oh boy. When you read this in some of the other modern translations, listen to this in the Bible in Basic Language. It says, because having the knowledge of God, they did not give glory to God as God and did not give praise. But their minds were full of foolish things, and their hearts, being without sense, were made dark. And the 20th century New Testament says, because although they learned to know God, yet they did not offer him as God either praise or thanksgiving. Their speculations about him proved futile, and their undiscerning minds were darkened. Now let me just share this. The more you gripe, the less you see. The more you gripe about stuff, the less you see. Because your foolish mind becomes darkened. And the more you gripe, the less you see, and you should be appreciating. And what happens is, the more you complain, and you know this, because we've all been there. We've been complaining, and you become dull and darkened in your thinking. Why? It's your mouth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So when we start to gripe and complain about something, we become darkened to the truth. And God's presence, as we praise him and we give him honor and glory, he inhabits the praises and we see. Does that make sense to anybody? Or are you out there? Okay. So as we thank God, we begin to see more. Why? Because we're operating what? In faith. And so it's something, boy, I tell you, when I read that, I stopped and I went, oop, 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 okay. So no matter what I'm walking through, I'm going to thank him. I'm going to bless him and thank him and give him honor and glory, because when I do, he's going to show me more. He's going to show me how to walk through and not complain and gripe. Why do I have to go through this? Man, another year, blah, blah, blah. Right? And so here's the thing. We can have husbands griping against wives. Wives griping against husbands. Parents griping about their kids. And what happens? The more you gripe, the less you see. The less you see how to treat one another. How to respond in the love of God. And so it's just something to keep in mind, something to think about and meditate upon. Because I'll tell you, it opened up some things in my thinking and said, okay, the more you see, the more you know. And the more sometimes you see what you haven't been doing, all that you should be doing. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we are not thanking him enough. Sometimes we're not praising him enough. And so, and I started to share about that on Sunday. And I'm going to get over that a little bit right now. Let's go back over to John chapter 4. And we want to pick up here where we've been looking at this particular scripture, John chapter 4 and verse 20. But you know, the world, when you think about it, the world doesn't see anything wrong with complaining. That's just normal MO for them. Complaining and griping about anything. Complaining and griping about getting up and going to work. Complaining and griping about everything. The taxes, the president, the senators, the economy, the gas. They're just griping and complaining. But yet God is here to show us how to live above the evil in this world. And we can certainly praise him and thank him and bless him. One idea from the master can make you a person like George Carver Washington, we're still eating his peanut butter. And they still haven't figured out all of the uses of the peanut. And so one idea from the master can change this world. But let's not gripe and complain. Let's thank him and bless him because he's so good. John 4, starting in verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He didn't say maybe, he said must. Now the interesting thing to me is, two things, let me ask the first question. From this scripture verse, or verses, it shows us a pattern, not a pattern, but a formula. It says here, how do we worship God? He shows us right here. How do we worship him? In spirit and in truth. And the other thing I find interesting is that it says here, the word true worshipers. Why did he qualify that? If he just said, worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So when he said, when Jesus said, true worshipers, well, then obviously there must be some that are not. Right? So that means that if true worshipers are to worship him in spirit and in truth, then those who are not worshiping him in spirit and in truth. That's correct. So we are to worship him in spirit and in truth, and the true worshipers are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I read from the Living Bible. This is a paraphrase Bible. And this really, I like the way this reads. It says, But say, tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, the time is coming, ma'am, when we will no longer be concerned about whether to worship the Father here or in Jerusalem. For it is not where we worship that counts, but how we worship. Is our worship spiritual and real? See, so this translation doesn't say spirit and in truth. He says spiritual and real. Do we have the Holy Spirit's help? I like that. For God is a spirit, and we must have his help to worship as we should. So in order for our worship to be spiritual and in truth, it has to be by and through the Holy Spirit. Has to be. Or otherwise, we're going to find ourselves being motivated by the flesh and traditions and observances. But by his Spirit, he will help us to worship. He will guide us into all truth. So here, and of course we can see this in the world today, there are many religions that the place is of great importance. We can see that in the Middle East. We can see that even in Catholicism. It has to be the place. You've got to be in this place to worship. But Jesus said it's not the place, it's how we worship that it's important, or it's crucial. So what I was sharing, and I started to get over into sharing, is if something is genuine and it's spiritual, then if it's genuine, then and if it's by the Holy Ghost, see, when we say here, if the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us in worship, would it not be then spiritual? Yes. If we're following him, then it's spiritual. But carnal people or natural people emphasize the natural. Spiritual people emphasize the spiritual. And where I started to share on Sunday was that there was some scriptures that we spent some time on. And I'd like to get over into looking at those again, just to for the sake of those who may not have been awake. It was warm in here Sunday. Anyways, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. One of the things that I'm finding, let's get over, I'll share this in a moment. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, for we are the circumcision. This is Paul writing. Now, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. This is what we just got done reading over in John. And do what? And rejoice in Jesus Christ. So if you're worshiping in the Spirit, Jesus is somewhere in that equation. Jesus is going to be exalted. He's going to be lifted up. You're going to rejoice in him. And it says what? And have no confidence in the flesh. So there really can't be any true worship apart from Jesus. There cannot be. Or apart from rejoicing in him. And one of the things, let's turn over to John. John 6:63. A familiar scripture verse. It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing, or profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And the Amplified says, it is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There's no profit in the flesh. The words or the truth that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. So there is no benefit in fleshly activity. So when we get over into carnal things, and as I was sharing Sunday, the more that you think about natural earthly things, carnal things, the more carnal you become. And it is going to dull your spirit. And I'll just share this. That's why it's important. The less we thank God, the scripture said, the more darkened your thinking. So it says your futile and futile thinking is darkened. So the more we meditate upon the problems of life, the more we just ponder on them, the more your thinking becomes darkened. And also, not only is your thinking darkened, but it says your heart is darkened. That's what the scripture said. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And so you're going to be less spiritual. And so how are you going to then hear the Holy Ghost and you're going to need his help to help you worship the Father in spirit and in truth? It's going to be very difficult. Very difficult. Not going to say it's impossible, but it's going to be very difficult. And the more carnal you become, the less you will worship God. And that's why when you get over into the scriptures, when we started to look at Romans chapter 5, it said Romans chapter 8, and the scripture, and that's why this scripture comes to mind. When you look at Romans chapter 8, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we find ourselves with no peace and agitated, you need to just stop and say, okay, why is that? I'm thinking on some stuff that's not bringing me peace. I'm agitated. And so those things, and the more you do that, there's probably a good possibility, because you just examine yourself, that you're doing less and less and less thanking of God and praising him. So your heart is being darkened by the thoughts. And you need to check it and just correct that. Say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And the Holy Ghost will remind you. And we have a choice at that point to just say, okay, sorry, thank you, and I just begin to praise him and thank him. Say, Father, thank you. I'm sorry for meditating on that. I'm sorry for being concerned about that. I'm going to just cast my cares upon you and just rest and thank you that you're a good God and you're directing my steps and all is well. And you begin to thank him, and then he'll begin to show you what to do and how to correct it. And so this is why I was saying Sunday, let's say it this way. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit bears witness, which is what the scripture says, bears witness with whose spirit? Our spirit. And when we talk about following the inward witness, you're following your spirit. who's being witnessed to by the Holy Ghost. So that's why when we say follow your spirit, if your spirit is being fed and nourished by the Word of God, and you're meditating in the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will take what's been deposited and He'll bear witness and He'll lead you. And that's why when you say something just doesn't feel right, whose spirit is doing that? Yours. He's bearing witness with your spirit. And you need to follow your spirit, which is being witnessed to by the Holy Ghost. And so that's why it's important when you look at these scriptures, if your foolish heart is darkened, it becomes more difficult to follow your spirit and to worship Him. It's dulled. And so that's why it's really important to not be consumed with the issues of this world. To thank Him. And that's what He said. So, one of the things that it said here, what I was sharing with on Sunday, is that when someone is carnal, let's say it this way. And I shared this Sunday, and let me elaborate it again. I said the opposite of worshiping in the spirit is worshiping in the flesh. The opposite of worshiping in the spirit is worshiping in the flesh. Now, don't get hung up on that term, worshiping in the flesh. Let me ask you something. If you give something a place above God, no matter what it is, could be a job, could be money, could be a position, it could be anything, and you give place to that and you bow to that, are you not worshiping that? Oh, you sure are. So you can worship something in the flesh. And so the opposite of worshiping in the spirit is worshiping something in the flesh, because it's either going to be God or it's going to be something carnal. There's nothing in between. You're either going to give God thanksgiving and praise and worship, or you're going to bow to something else. And that is exactly, when we say worship, we're talking about bowing to something. People worship sickness. What do? They bow to it. They yield to it. What did the devil say when he took Jesus up into a mountain? He said, I'll give you all of this if you do what? Bow down and worship me. So he would have been worshiping him, the created. And he said, no, he said, only you worship God and Him only. And so we can, if we get over there, we can worship something, we can give place to it and bow to it. Whether it's sickness, whether it's lack, whether it's a problem, we can bow to it. And that's not good. That's carnal. And it is not spiritual, and that's not genuine, and that's not truth. He said, we are to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so, what I was sharing also on Sunday, and let me just say this. The more that you exercise your spirit, the more you feed it, the more you exercise it, the stronger your spirit becomes. And the stronger your spirit becomes because you're feeding it, you're exercising it, the more aware you are of spiritual things. So the more that, isn't that what the Holy Ghost said tonight? He said that tonight. Come into my presence. I want to show you things. So the more that you entertain, the more that you feed, the more that you worship, the more that you spend time in prayer, the more that you feed on God's word, and I'm telling you, and I'll just say it this way, I have found shutting off noise has helped me. Now, I'm not there 100%, but I'm there a great way. And by shutting down noise and spending time here and feeding and listening, you become more sensitive and more aware of spiritual things. That's just what Joshua 1:8 says. And so I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I'm here to share with you that you need to be prayerful about the distractions of life, because the more you feed on stuff, I'll just say it this way, even my own time, even listening to other ministers and other teachers, I may find great anointed teachings, but that does not replace your time of worship. It doesn't replace that. And so whatever medium or vehicle you're using to be fed in addition to the Word of God, if you're filling your day up with that, you got to make an adjustment, because there needs to be time for worship. There needs to be time for prayer in His presence. And so the stronger you are in your spirit, the more aware you are of spiritual things. And it's easier for God's Spirit to lead you and guide you. And so we want to be there. That's where we want to be. And turn back over. I want to just look at that again, Romans chapter 8. Let's take a moment and look at that. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 4, 5, and 6. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, the Good News translation says, those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what the human nature wants. So you have your minds controlled by what your body wants and your human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. So, again, keeping carnal things on your mind all the time is what will make you carnal. But keeping spiritual things on your mind all the time will make you spiritual. And you say, well, I got to go to work. How do I keep spiritual things on my mind all the time? God knows that. But keeping spiritual things on your mind means, what does that mean? Is His Word spiritual? Yes. So keeping the Word of God in your heart and in your mind is keeping your mind spiritual. So that as you're working and something comes up that makes what you're thinking about run crosswise to this, then you need to say, no, the Bible says this. I'm sorry. I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't think that. That's keeping spiritual. But if you want to get sucked into gossip, and you want to get sucked into a conversation at work that runs crosswise with the Word, which is spiritual, then that's carnal. That's what's keeping the Word on your mind all the time. That if you keep it in your heart and something comes up, you're going to have to make a choice. All of us every day have to make choices whether or not we yield to thoughts that are carnal or spiritual. And those thoughts can either lead us down one path or another. And they'll either bring death or they'll bring life and peace. That's what the Word says. And so, you know, those things that people get consumed with, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's marriage, we have the answers right here. And the first commandment is to walk in love. So, John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Galatians 6 says, he that soweth to his flesh, see, this is being carnal-minded, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So things produce after its own kind. Now, I'm going to start. I was starting here Sunday. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. And let's look here for a few minutes, and we'll pick up again on Sunday. First Corinthians 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God... Now let me stop and ask this question. Okay, I'll finish reading it. Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now let me ask a question. If someone was speaking by the Holy Ghost, would they be spiritual? You sure? Or you don't know? You awake? If somebody is speaking by the Spirit of God, then they're spiritual. And so the scripture says, you can look and just look at it right here, somebody who's spiritual cannot call Jesus accursed. Not possible. And that no man can say that person who's spiritual but by the Holy Ghost. That no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So if you're spiritual, you're going to call Jesus Lord. You see. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, when you look at the first verse, In verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. Now, if you'll notice, that word gifts is italicized, which means that was added by the translators. So really, if we remove that word, it says, now concerning spiritual or spirituals. Now, if you look at other translations, it makes that clear. The Young's Literal Translation says, and concerning the spiritual things, brethren. What things? He's talking about operations, manifestations, gifts. He's talking about spiritual things. I do not wish you to be ignorant. Well, let me ask a question. If he said he didn't wish him to be ignorant, that must mean there's some of them that were. Right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it that way. And the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, about matters of the Spirit. I like that. I like the way that's said. About matters of the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. So he's talking about here ministries and operations and manifestations. This is not just about the gifts of the Spirit, but it's about spirituals, about spiritual matters. You see. And so you can see here, just by verse 3, it says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And so here, we can see here that when it is in the Spirit and by the Spirit of God, it'll glorify Jesus. You can see that right here in the Scripture again. It will magnify Jesus and glorify Him. And what we were sharing on Sunday is that when something is in the Spirit, and I know Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton taught this, Brother Hagen taught this, that when something is fleshly, when something is motivated by the flesh, it draws attention to that person. And when it is spiritual, when it is truly spiritual and unctioned by the Spirit of God, it draws more attention to Him than the individual. Less of them, more of Him. And so that was always one of the things that the pastors shared. I know Reverend Mary Frances Varallo used to say that. She said, you use the name of Jesus. If a person doesn't respond, call the police. It's the flesh. And the same thing. Brother Hagen used to say the same, something similar, you know, that if it's flesh, it draws attention to them. And it's very easy. You can begin to tell whether it's spiritual or flesh. Is it drawing attention to them? Is that person singing and drawing attention to them? Or when they sing, you literally forget about that person. It's not that you don't see them. You see them, but you forget about them. You're just enveloped in God's presence. You see, we've experienced that. Pastor Clinton would bring us into the presence of God. We just almost forgot he was at the piano. Same with Brother Morris. We're not noticing him so much as we are. We're just drawn into the presence of God. That's spiritual. You see, but when it's more entertainment, when it's flashy, that's carnal. Look at me. I'm so great a singer, or whatever that is. That's carnal. And Pastor Clinton used to say it was just good entertainment. But there was nothing spiritual about it. That's all. And he used to say this, you know, even to the choir members, which was true. I didn't disagree with it. He said, anything that we did as a choir, there was always an element of entertainment to it, even though it was spiritual. And I didn't disagree with that, because that's just, people are natural. You see, and so even though the things that we did were spiritual, there was that element of it. But you can begin to see, you know, when we talk about something spiritual versus fleshly, anytime prophecy is given, anytime a word comes from the Lord, from the floor, through an individual, are you drawn to that individual, or are you drawn to God through that prophecy or that word? You see? And so you can begin to weigh and to judge. You as an individual, doesn't have to be a pastor, but you can begin to judge prophecy. You can see, was it spiritual or was it fleshly? And sometimes things can start, you've heard this, it can start over in the spirit and then get over in the flesh. Same thing. So it can happen. I'm going to stop because it's 9:16. But there was a scripture, I wrote these down because something that Deacon Valerie, what translation were you reading from tonight? I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. And I don't have that translation in front of me, but it was what you said in verse 34 that got me to thinking about what your mind is on. See, and I was thinking about mind and being consumed with something in your mind. See, the King James translation says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I think there was something, that the way it was read, it says, what did it say? Yeah, verse 34, I think. Yeah. I think. Then what was it that, what verse did you have on, maybe it was 32. That's what it was. These things dominate the thoughts. That's the thing that arrested my attention. These things dominate the thoughts. Carnal. Take no thought. These things dominate the thoughts. Did it say unbelievers or just say unbelievers? Right. But we shouldn't be like the unbelievers. These things shouldn't dominate our thoughts. We should let the Spirit of God lead us into all truth. And when we are worshiping the Father, we are to worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. So if we know He meets our needs, then we shouldn't let these thoughts dominate us like the unbelievers. We should do what? Thank Him, because when we don't, our foolish hearts are what? Darkened. And that's the thing. That was that scripture verse that kind of just arrested my attention when I heard that. These things dominate the thoughts. We don't want them to dominate our thoughts. No. Now that doesn't mean that you're not responsible. No, you're to be responsible, but you don't lean to your own understanding. You don't lean to it. You see it. You know it has to be tended to. And you say, okay, God, thank you. I don't know how to deal with this, but I'm going to worship you and praise you. Give me the thoughts to do this. Commit my ways unto the Lord, and He will do what? He'll direct me. And that's what the proverb says. So we're going to commit our thoughts unto the Lord, and He's going to direct my ways. And He's going to show me how to walk through the adversities and the issues. And then I'm going to praise Him constantly. So we'll pick up again on Sunday, but for some reason, I just say it's the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, you know, you're following your spirit, which is being directed by the Holy Ghost, but I just have this sense that there are some that are letting things dominate their thinking and their minds about things. I'm not saying that you, if it's not you, fine. If it is, say, okay, thank you, I receive it, and praise God. But I had a sense, and a strong sense Sunday, that there were folks that were letting things dominate their thinking, and shouldn't be. And I shared Sunday that I found myself, because we have to look at the finances of the church. We have to look at things. We have to, Pastor Greg and I have to discuss with the managers and those responsible what things we purchase, what things we don't, what things we do, what things we don't do, and we look at things. We pray about it, and we look, okay, does this feel right? Yes, okay, let's go. But sometimes you start looking at income, and you start looking at expenses, and you go, okay. All right. Good. Praise God. Amen. And we're calling in the $80,000. And I believe it's come in, but you know, you can find yourself. I'm walking through this just with you. Same thing. You can find yourself looking at something a little bit too close. Even though we've got a large amount of money in the bank, but there's still income and expenses. And so you start looking at it and you start saying, okay, God, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. And I found myself going home thinking about it. And I said, no, there's something wrong with this. And the Holy Ghost said, what did I say? The people will come. He didn't say maybe. He said, the people will come and the money will come. I mean, it went off in here. I've said it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, but it became real. It became so real, I started to dance. I did. Coming home, I was like, hey, glory, 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 glory. The money will come. The money will come. The money will come. Doesn't matter if we got zero. He said the money will come. And I heard this church will never, ever, ever, because he said it. He said the money will come and the people will come. That means this church will never lack. It'll never lack people and it'll never lack money. We will never be without. We will never be behind and never lacking. Ever. That's so real in me. I look at the income and laugh now. I do. I go, ha, 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 ha. Because he said something that I can hang my hat on. And that's what we have to do when we get faced with things. I'm not saying that you're not going to be concerned about something. I'm not saying that. But you see, this is where, even when we get over a little bit to the left and we get out of the center, that's what the job of the Holy Ghost is for. That's when he says, remember what I said over here? See, it's the Spirit's job to help us to worship. And the worship part is, it's not getting over into dancing and jumping and all that. The worship is, what are you bowing to? What are you letting things consume your mind? Well, I found that I was being consumed a little bit too much with that. With finances. And the Holy Ghost said, no, what did I say? And I said, oh yes, you sure did. Glory, you sure did. And what happened? You get over into worshiping him. Say, thank, yes, you sure did. That's worship.
Amen.
That is also worship because I'm now bowing to him. I'm giving him reverence. I'm giving him honor to what? To what he said. Not what my foolish mind was thinking. Because if I had kept thinking about it, my foolish heart would have been what? More darkened. More darkened to what he said. And it wouldn't have become real. But the more I began to, see, that's what, I just thank God the Holy Ghost said, what did I say? Light came. Revelation came. And then at that point, it was my choice to jump in. And I sure did. I sure did. And that's what we need to do, is not be consumed, because this world, what, and the reason I think the Holy Ghost, you may say, well, I wonder why he's teaching this, because there's things that we don't know are going to happen tomorrow and next week. Let me ask you a question. What happens if the gas hits $8 a gallon? What are you going to do? You going to moan? You going to gripe? Oh, man. Gripe, 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 gripe. Gripe, 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 gripe. Gripe, 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 gripe. Gripe, 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 gripe. What are you going to do? See, because it could happen. I'm not saying it will, but what are you going to do? And I remember there was a word, I don't have it in front of me, but Dee Dee gave it to me, and I mean, I have it in the magazine at home. Well, Brother Copeland gave a word. He said, in 2012, there are going to be some things that are going to happen. But he said, for the church that follows me, it's going to be good.
Amen.
All's going to be well. But see, those that don't, it's not going to be. It's going to be hell. See, so when you're carnal and you let those things dominate your mind, you're not following after the Spirit's direction. And you're not worshiping Him. You're not giving Him place and honor. And what? What did it say? And thanks. Being thankful unto Him. I'm going to be thankful. Amen. Praise God. I didn't mean to elaborate, but I think sometimes we need to just, you know, sometimes you don't have plans of saying some things, but it was that one scripture verse that Deacon Valerie read. It's like, boom, that jumped right out at me. Something dominates your mind. And that's really where I was, but I said it just said it. And I said, sometimes we can find all of ourselves being dominated with thoughts that are not godly. And we need to have the Spirit's help to keep us spiritual and in truth. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to hold our questions till Sunday. Amen. Father, we thank you for the message today. Thank you, Father, for those that are here. Thank you that the words that are spoken are spirit and life. And I thank you, Father, that those words are like seeds and are deposited in receptive hearts and will bring forth an abundant harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.